This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Anoush Samarodi. So what would you do if you woke up this morning and your cell phone didn't work? No bars, no 4G network, no text or mail or web updates. After Sandy, that was exactly what happened to many of us. Can you believe it was just 5 months ago? One in four cell towers in the path of the storm was down. With no service, it became pretty clear pretty quickly that cell phones are a necessity these days, like electricity or water. Reporter Tracy Samuelson wanted to find out if, thanks to Sandy, cell network providers are preparing for events like that storm. And Tracy, at the time, you actually did manage to talk to some people who had lost their cell phone service after the storm, right?
Yes, I did. And no, the irony of trying to call someone without cell service was not lost on me.
It's Lori McCaskill. Please leave your name and number and I'll return your call as soon as possible.
Lori McCaskill lives in Sunset Park, and when Sandy hit, she lost her Verizon cell service. She couldn't work, couldn't check in with family and friends, and her sister was due to have a baby any day. Plus, McCaskill told me when we connected on Skype.
I realized, if there's actually an emergency, I don't know if a call will get through.
Just think how the residents felt in those first moments when there was nobody, when they couldn't get any information, when they were cut off.
Jack Schneerman is the city manager of Long Beach, Long Island, where he says that all cell phone towers went down during Sandy. He described the experience at a recent FCC hearing that looked at how the cell networks performed during the storm.
There was one woman particularly who passed away of natural causes, an elderly woman, and her daughter had to walk literally a mile and a half from her home to police headquarters just to say, listen, my mom has passed, and I thought I should tell somebody.
So to be prepared for the next disaster, Schneerman wants better access to cells on wheels, called COWs, cell towers that can be moved from place to place. He wants backup power at cell towers and better access to the cell providers themselves. He said he didn't even know who to call about the city's problems.
The city's IT department flagged a Verizon tech off the street to help us find out who in Verizon could help. We needed to get somebody to come and help us.
Here's the thing. Cell providers aren't regulated like, say, the power companies. Remember all those reports about how many customers were without electricity during the storm? Cell providers aren't required to give updates about the status of their networks.
We guess that there are about 25% of the cell network went down in the metro area and surrounding areas, but we don't have official reporting numbers on it.
Susan Crawford is a professor at Cardozo Law School who just wrote a book critical of the telecom industry. She says the backstory here is that we used to have a single Bell monopoly. In return for access to public infrastructure, the cell phone provided a safe, secure network and agreed to government oversight. When new players like cable and wireless came along,
we assumed that cable would compete with phone would compete with wireless, and that therefore we didn't need to have this whole superstructure of regulation placed on these essential wires. It turns out that we were wrong.
Crawford argues that competition hasn't assured reliable service, and these problems are now magnified because a third of people only have cell phones and no landlines, including Crawford.
I'm speaking to you on a cell phone because I don't have a landline at home.
One commonly proposed solution is to mandate that cell towers have some form of backup power, like generators. But some tower sites in the city aren't zoned for generators, says Crystal Davis with Sprint Nextel.
There are some buildings and some zoning areas where we can put permanent generators, and there are some areas where we're not allowed to.
They can have batteries, but those only offer about 4 to 6 hours of backup power. Plus, urban sites present additional challenges after a storm.
More than 90% of our cell sites are going to be on top of buildings, and these are buildings that we don't own. We actually have to coordinate with the building owners and the landlords to get access to the buildings.
Davis says Sprint's network was fully operational within 2 weeks of Sandy, and going forward, the company wants to coordinate with utilities for better service after storms. AT&T, Verizon Wireless, and T-Mobile all declined interviews for this story. CTIA, a trade group for the wireless providers, resent a statement from the initial days after the storm, which said, in part, quote, where commercial power is lost for 4 to 8 days rather than hours, a mandated 8-hour backup power rule would not have been a panacea, end quote. So while the New York State Senate is considering a bill that would require providers to install backup power on new cell phone towers, Crawford isn't optimistic that Sandy will bring significant changes to the cell networks.
So it both looks unlikely that either the FCC or the state is going to be able to pass rules affecting these outages, and it looks unlikely that the carriers are going to take substantial steps to fix their own networks.
After Hurricane Katrina, there were similar requests for new regulation and more backup power. but nothing significant changed then either. And providers are actively opposing any new attempts for additional regulation or oversight. Verizon, for example, wants to prevent the FCC from regulating its networks, wireless and broadband. It argues it's a communication company, just like the New York Times, and so any regulation would limit free speech. For WNYC, I'm Tracy Samuelson.
As Americans get used to being able to constantly connect on the go, more of us are becoming cord cutters, people who get rid of their landline or cable subscription and just rely on mobile devices and Wi-Fi. One startup looking to make money off of cord cutting is Aereo. It uses tiny antennas to pick up broadcast stations over the airwaves and then streams them over the internet to its subscribers' smartphones or tablets. And surprise, surprise, Aereo was sued last year by CBS, NBC, ABC, PBS, Fox, all saying Aereo violated copyright laws by retransmitting their programming without permission. Well, yesterday, an appeals court upheld a ruling in favor of Aereo, which is big encouragement for a company with plans to expand beyond its sole market here in New York City. Here's Aereo CEO Chet Kanojia.
The traditional reaction in this industry is sue first, ask questions later. And it's unfortunate, but that's the path that some of these companies choose to take. Our contention is we are solving a tremendous problem for this industry, which is an ever-dwindling participation of the consumers, younger consumers in particular.
That was Aereo's CEO, Chet Kanojia. The company's legal battle with big media companies isn't over yet. A full-on trial is probably up next. Oh, and by the way, today at noon, join us on Twitter for a chat with Jessica Lawrence, the executive director of New York Tech Meetup. The hashtag is WomenTech, but bring your questions about jobs, startups, anything. And if you don't use Twitter or know about chats, go to our website, newtechcity.org, for a quick explainer. I'm Anoush Samarodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.